Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Bill Michael Show, we are on the air. We are glad you are here. As we are back, another hour to go before the program culminates. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, are going to be joining us coming up here in about 15 minutes from now. So stay tuned for that. As Mike has been in Green Bay at the OTAs, and we're going to talk some Packers football and get you caught up as to what's going on. There's a lot of optimism coming out of Green Bay right now. There's a lot of it's not like overwhelming, if you know what I mean. It's not overwhelming to the point where people are just geeked about a 12 or 13 win record. But I think people are excited because they believe, at least positively, it's going to be better than what it was last year. And at least there appears to be, or at least the optimism is, that there's a postseason in the future for the Green Bay Packers. More immediate future, anyway. And then what can happen? Well, so we'll wait and see. But the optimism right now, as in many camps, reigns supreme. And the Packers are, let's be honest, compared to what's going on, Le'Veon Bell and some of the issues that have, you know, kind of surrounded him. Obviously, Odell Beckham Jr. going over and talking about the reason he can go ahead and skip things. There hasn't been any real controversy regarding the Green Bay Packers. Nothing of that magnitude. So it's been good and kind of quiet, to be perfectly honest with you. The only thing that's been discussed with Aaron Rodgers, which is now, I was reading it last night in USA Today. I saw it over on ESPN. It was on CBS. It was on Fox. All the majors, NFL Network. Aaron Rodgers discusses the merits of a quarterback chugging beer.
Kind of said what I said. You know, if you want to go scotch, I feel pretty good about it. As far as those other guys, you know, for some of them, there's finally a talent where they can say they're better than me.
So that's a talent that David Bakhtiari and company are better than Aaron Rodgers. When it comes to chugging beer, I don't know. Do you even chug scotch? You don't chug scotch, do you? I think you get sick if you chug scotch. Now, some may. I mean, Bluto, going back to the Animal House movie, but he chugged Jack Daniels. But do you don't chug scotch, do you? Correct me if I'm wrong. 855-830-8648, 855-830-8648. But this thing's gone national. That's how big and powerful Aaron Rodgers' voice can be, that we're now discussing the merits of chugging beer. Now, in this state, something like that, you put that on your resume where you're successful with it, and you could end up becoming the governor. But that's what people are talking about. That's what kind of an offseason it's been right now for the Packers, is that short of the fact that the very sad news came out that Bart Starr had passed away, the other big story in Green Bay is Aaron Rodgers says that, he's not great at chugging beer, but if it was a scotch contest, he would then most likely win that.
Yeah, I think it's a good point, Bill.
Thank you very much. So, I just can't believe that that's something that we're talking about, to be honest with you. I find it kind of funny. But that's where we're at, man. Chugging beer is prevalent when it comes to the state of Wisconsin and Aaron Rodgers and what we're going to pay attention to. We're just grasping for anything. Hey, before we get back into Packer stuff, I did want to get into this. Did you see the story that came out of New York and is going on in Boston? The anger regarding Brady trying to take the patent for Tom Terrific. Did you see that, Joe? Did you read any of that? Know what's that about? So years and years and years and years ago, the New York Mets, they had a pitcher named Tom Seaver. And if you don't know, Tom Seaver, Hall of Famer, fantastic pitcher in Major League Baseball. I'll, to this day, never forget when the Cincinnati Reds traded for him. And we found out, we were on our way home. It was one of what they used to call Kid Glove Night. And that basically meant any little leaguer that sold tickets on his team to his family, you could get really, really cheap tickets. And what you got to do was you got to walk the field as your team prior to the game. And they do this over at Miller Park as well. They do it for the Brewers. But my coach, his name was Ron Brickner. I'll never forget. He and my dad were taking our entire team. There was like 12 of us in two station wagons. And we were going to go to the ball game. And we went to the ball game. And immediately after the game, we flip on the radio. And we're listening to the post game show. And Marty Brenneman came on with Joe Nuxall and said, you know, breaking news, the Cincinnati Reds have indeed traded for Tom Seaver. And I remember listening at that point in time, you could roll the window down. Now, my dad was excited about it. My baseball coach was excited about it. They're blowing their horns driving through town. But when the horns stopped blowing, you could roll your window down and literally hear people through downtown Cincinnati like screaming and yelling in jubilation because Tom Terrific was coming to the Reds. So now you fast forward to today, and Tom Terrific has been the headline at times in newspapers, speaking of Tom Brady. So Tom Brady has now tried to take the title of Tom Terrific and wants to patent it. And the Seaver family, who has that patent, including when he was in conjunction with the New York Mets, they're like, no, you can't have it. And Tom's trying to buy it. And the argument is that, look, Tom Seaver right now suffers from dementia. He has gotten away from public life. His health is declining. And meanwhile, you've got Tom Brady, who's got a wife that actually earns even more money than he does, living in a $20 million estate and trying to patent the name Tom Terrific so he can capitalize on it. So that has become a big argument, and almost an argument on one hand. If you're a New Yorker and you're looking at it as a Mets fan's point of view, you're looking at Tom Seaver going, or Tom Brady saying, what an arrogant SOB to think that he can just come in and take it and try to make even more money off of it, when Tom Seaver, who made good money and was in the Hall of Fame, and is in the Hall of Fame, he is then, you know, he's suffering from dementia. You're trying to kind of take this from his family at this point in time. It's just the timing of it is bad. The posturing of it is bad. So, but that's been one of the big controversies that's really kind of, you know, come out of camp, is that's it. I mean, other than Odell Beckham Jr. and then Le'Veon Bell, his girlfriend, $520,000 worth of jewelry has vanished from their home. Which you're talking about just myriads of wealth at this point, where people are going, oh my God, how do you have that much jewelry laying around your house? You know, that type of thing. There hasn't been a lot to discuss. We were glad to find out that finally the Green Bay Packers are going to head to Winnipeg to be able to play the Oakland Raiders, because the Raiders have finally found, at least tentatively, somewhat of a home, but we'll wait and see where they end up. They don't even have a home right now. So, it has been a relatively quiet camp, and right now the Packers just go about their business. They're installing their offense. They're installing their defense. There's a comfort level to guys second year into the defense, and meanwhile, the offense has at least the new look, and what we've had a chance to see has been a little more scheming guys open, a little more play action, a little more movement, things that we're not accustomed to seeing on a continual basis out of the offense. It seems to be like there's I don't want to say a breath of fresh air, but there's a new air in Lambeau Field, and guys are engaged, and we have found out maybe how stale things had gotten just simply by change. Sometimes change for the sake of change is good. Now, we'll wait and see. We'll find out if it actually pans out into wins and losses for this team, but it's been different. So we're going to talk with Mike Clemens coming up about that here momentarily. This portion of the program brought to you by our friends at Cousins Subs. And they want to remind you, are you ready to go hog wild? Of course you are. Cousins Subs' famous Cubano is back, along with the new Wisconsin pork and Gouda. You can try the Cubano with ham, Genoa salami, pulled pork, Swiss cheese, and a whole lot more. Or the Wisconsin pork and Gouda, featuring the pulled pork, bacon, Wisconsin smoked Gouda cheese, onions, mayo, Dijon mustard. They have got it all. Or just their regular lineup, which is fantastic. You can order online at CousinSubs.com, but let you know that those two sandwiches are for a limited time only. Delivery is now available at select locations as well. So go to CousinSubs.com. That is CousinSubs.com, where they believe in better. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. When we come back, Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold insider, he's been there in Green Bay. We're going to talk a lot about it coming up next in the Bill Michaels Show.
Wisconsin-wide, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
We are glad you're on board today. Beautiful sunny day, getting warm out. I can feel summer on the horizon. This portion of the program, speaking of on the horizon, brought to you by our friends at Quick Trip. And at Quick Trip and Quick Star, they want to reward professional drivers. They want to reward professional drivers. That's right. If you're driving around listening to the program right now, you know who you are. They're the ones that want to take care of you and start giving you some of these reward points that you've been missing out on if you don't have a Quick Rewards card. Whether it's Quick Trip or Quick Star, you can stop in, pick up the card, register it online, and then start tracking your rewards in 50 gallons, DEF, diesel, whatever it happens to be. It starts earning you rewards right away. You can get free sodas, you can get free coffee where the amenities are available, you can get free showers. There's many different things you can track online, and they always have specials. I mean, Quick Trip has almost become a daily stop for our household, whether it's for milk or eggs or bananas or whatever it happens to be, or just some of the treats. I mean, the kids have a sleepover. That's great to go for donuts and such and eggs and things like that. So it's not just fuel. It's so much more, but obviously we stopped there to gas up as well. But start earning your rewards right here, right now. Quick Trip and Quick Star, if you're a professional driver, they have the Quick Rewards Fleet app. You can download it online and start tracking your rewards right now. Mike Clemens, our Green and Gold Insider, joining us here in studio. How you doing, Michael?
Pretty good. Pretty good. Just been covering OTAs this week. And, you know, the big story was sort of getting into Matt LaFleur and his new lifestyle. Having to deal with this torn Achilles tendon that he had the other day. So, you know, the first thing I had to ask him was directly was, you know, what happened? You know, how did this happen? He says that he and his coaching staff, after a long day of coaching and film and out on the practice field, after they have dinner and they probably go up and have some more meetings, let's go down to the gym tonight and do a little basketball. And so he says that's how this thing happened a week ago last week, Wednesday night, when he had the injury. Joe?
Don't have it.
Oh, you don't have it? Oh, okay. All right. Well, anyway, he talked about this at length, where he said that they play basketball after practice every night, and that they were playing this knockout game, and that he was trying to go up for a rebound, came down, and he said he felt like somebody kicked him. So he knew right away that this thing had he'd injured it. And then, you know, he went into the feelings of just having to deal with how's this going to completely change his coaching style. Because we talked about how those first couple of practices, this guy dips his head in the huddle, listens to how Aaron Rodgers is calling the play. Then as the huddle's breaking, runs to the other side of the field, lines up like a safety, waits for the team to come out, watches the offense run the play at him, and then he'll chase down players, veteran players, linemen, quarterbacks, and say, no. You know, you should veer this way. You should make a cut that way.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, this really hinders the way the guy is going to go about doing his job.
Right.
There's other coaches that have done this. He talked about I think we got the cut there where he talked about cut one. Do you have that, Joe? Mm-hmm. This is how he describe the situation to us.
After a long work day, you got to get some exercise in, and we got a lot of guys on our staff that like to play basketball, and there's a gym right in Lambeau, so you know that's kind of been our routine and nighttime basketball. And especially when our family's been away, the guys that, you know, whose families haven't moved here and whatnot, we just get together and play some nighttime hoops. And
how did it happen, Matt?
I wish I could give you some crazy like dunk story or anything like that, but we were playing on 10-foot hoops, and everybody knows I can't jump that high. So I missed a shot, and I went for a rebound, and it felt like somebody kicked me, and there was nobody behind me. So I had a pretty good idea of what it was right away.
Well, and on your way then probably to get treatment, you must have thought, as much as I'd like to be with the
those players are in the huddle. Frustration about that, huh?
Yeah, but you know what? If I'm just going to try to keep as positive as mindset as I can and use it as a teaching moment for our team, and hopefully that they'll realize, you know, bad things can happen if you play a little hoop. But like I said, I think it could have happened out here on the field as well. So,
well,
he's keeping cool under pressure.
Sure.
It's a major pain.
I bet.
For a 39-year-old coach, a guy that's trying to install a new offense and, you know, trying to run a three-ring circus out there, mm-hmm. do it from a golf cart.
Yeah.
It's pretty tough.
I bet. I bet he's having some issues with it.
Now, you know, the question is, will he be able to, how soon can he get back on his feet? Because right now he's in a golf cart. He actually came out halfway through practice, so they have to limit the time. He just had the surgery on Sunday. So here's what he thinks his game plan is as to when he can get, you know, back on his feet and on a sideline by game time in August.
A few years back, you know, remember when Sean Payton broke his leg on the sideline? I don't anticipate coaching from the press box or anything like that. I think as long as I handle my business and follow the doctor's orders, I don't foresee it being an issue come week one. You know, that as far as limitations during the preseason, there might be some. You might see me on a boot or in a boot on the sideline, but like I said, I'm just going to take it one day at a time.
Look, I don't know how much this hinders him. You know, I mean, I know there's a big deal made of it because the head coach of the Green Bay Packers tore his Achilles. I get it. How much do you think that this, his ability to be able, because you...
Well, where do you want to call a game from? The press box or the sideline talking that. To the referees,
to me,
right?
To me, though, Sunday is a byproduct of Wednesday through Friday. So how much does this impede his ability to coach? Because you said he likes to be a guy that runs down the field and grabs you and says, hey, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah, well, he's got to be more of a field general.
Yeah.
It's like some of the players were saying, it doesn't hurt him a bit when he's in the film room because he's in the back of the room still, you know, chewing us out and saying, this is wrong, this is right, those kinds of things.
Right.
I think just the big question is you just want to make sure that when you're down at Soldier Field for the season opener, that, you know, you can have a headset on there, you can talk to referees, and you can throw a challenge flag and all that, not have to rely on Nathaniel Hackett or somebody else to play that role because he's still up, you know, with his foot up elevated from a press box.
Right.
You know, when we met this coaching staff and you could see the kind of the inexperience, but just a couple of months into this journey and coaching these players and being together, these guys are a lot more confident and very open about their descriptions. Because I asked LaFleur straight out, okay, so you've gone through this little traumatic event with the Achilles surgery. You managed to show up to the softball game and throw out the first pitch, you know, because the guys were kind of counting on you. How do you think your team looks so far as you head into the last week of OTAs?
Yeah, I thought, you know, there's a lot of good things, and there's still a ton of room for improvement. I think, you know, just the way we operate in and out of the huddle, I think it could be a little bit cleaner and crisper. And like I said, we don't have the full offense in quite yet, like as far in terms of the no huddle and whatnot. And I think from a defensive perspective, you know, I love the communication that's going on. I feel like, especially with the amount of new people that we have in the system, I think everybody's done a really good job. And it starts with Pet, you know, communicating what we need to get done. I feel like everybody's on the same page, and they're certainly presenting some challenging looks for the offense, and then you look at the special teams, and I think we're setting a solid foundation going into the fall.
There's a lot of things where they've kind of tightened down on security when it comes to what we can take pictures of a practice and certain kinds of access. But I'll say this, just in talking to LaFleur and all the assistant coaches, they're pretty open right now in terms of their assessments as to how the players are doing, where they think guys are right now, and so that part has been refreshing. You know, it's their first year, so the honeymoon period is still on. But that part has been interesting to watch.
Let's do this. I wanted to get into a couple of other things regarding the OTA. So when you were talking about some of the things that they had going on, Jimmy Graham had the knee injury from last year. He wants to come back and be better. You've got guys that that are feeling comfortable the second year in Mike Pettine's system that I want to get into as well. These are all the things that I want to talk about when we come back. Hang in there. Stay tuned. More of the Bill Michaels Show next.
You're listening to the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
You know, I just try to keep the big picture in mind and kind of keep my mind on whatever task is in front of us, and that helps just me forget about kind of what's going on. Sometimes I'll be sitting there doing something, I'm ready to get up, and then I realize, oh, I can't put any weight on my foot.
Ouch! Ouch! Head coach of the Green Bay Packers, Matt LaFleur, his voice there. Joining us in studio, Mike Clemens from our Green and Gold Insider from NFL Sirius Radio. So, Matt's coaching from a cart. Aaron Rodgers loves to chug scotch. And Jimmy Graham has something to prove. You've got young guys coming into second-year players, veterans trying to help out the young guys. But you know what? As I said, Mike, coming into this segment just before, no major controversy. It's kind of nice. You're not seeing guys that are missing and skipping OTAs and mini camps and blaming it on other reasons, and you don't have any bravado garbage going on right now.
Well, see, we've already forgotten about Josh Jones. Is he going to show up next week to the mandatory mini camp?
Yeah.
Right?
And
that's a second-round pick, and that should be you should be getting something for that.
We'll find
out how that all plays out.
But
Who said at the start of these OTAs, I'm not coming. Look, they draft a guy, then they sign another guy in free agency, or it was the other way around. But I should be a starting safety. I want to be traded. So we'll see how that plays out.
Aaron Rodgers said something interesting, because to me, I'm like, look, I don't think you've earned the stripes just yet to be kind of demanding anything.
Right.
But Aaron Rodgers said, we want guys that want to be here.
Right.
So was he in essence saying, hey, if the guy doesn't want to be here, get rid of him? Or was he, because to me, I think it sets a bad precedent.
Aaron said, we love Josh. He's a part of our locker room. He's made some big plays for us. But at the same time, you know, Josh, it's you. Look at the guy in the mirror who doesn't seem to be able to get the defense and hasn't earned the trust of either Dom Capers or now Mike Pettine. So it's kind of on you why you're being replaced and why you're right now you're still a backup and special teams guy. One area of concern as I'm watching these OTAs is offensive line. David Bakhtiari, Lane Taylor, left guard. Corey Linsley at center, no problem. Lucas Patrick, when Linsley had a family emergency, missed some OTA, he jumped in at center. Okay, that's okay. And they've done pretty good in terms of draft and bringing back some free agents. So Billy Turner is the guy that they paid some money to come in from Denver. Now, the first week of this, we were out there, and we watched him lining up at right guard, right? And I guess they're not going to bring back Byron Bell, who they brought in for 1 year to fulfill that. But Bulaga, he has to drop out when they go in 11-11. So he's not like 100%. So 1 week they use Jason Spriggs, who's going into his, fourth year now?
Mm-hmm.
High draft pick. And then the other day they said, well, let's try Turner at right tackle.
Right.
Put him out at right tackle. And then they put the rookie, Elton Jenkins, at right guard. So they're trying these things out. I think that the depth is pretty good, but you'd like to see Bulaga, you know. You'd like to know that when you have to line up against Khalil Mack, game one, who had 12 and a half sacks last year, who Dick Butkus walked on the field the other day at the Bears OTAs and handed him the Butkus Award for best linebacker in the NFL. You'd like to think that you're going to have experience ready for that guy. Remember how Khalil Mack knocked Blog on his butt in the first three plays at the opener last year, and then Mack sort of ran out of gas as that game ran on. Then the tight end situation. You got Mercedes Lewis, who was kind of talking some smack about Aaron Rodgers when all of his audibles in January, but they brought him back. Jimmy Graham, and then you've got these very young tight ends. You don't have like 1, 5, or 6 years in between there. So Jimmy Graham knows that last year he had the knee injury, then the broken thumb, which really made it tough. That might explain why he only had 2 touchdown catches in 2018. Some people kind of surprised that Green Bay brought him back, and here's what Jimmy had to say.
Obviously, you know, last year was disappointing for everybody. You know, I'm not used to losing. I don't think anybody here is, you know, and for me, it was not a good year. And so I'm completely focused on putting my best foot forward and, you know, being the player that I am, you know, scoring down the red zone and being that big threat on third down. I mean, I got to get back to that. And I take it serious. You know, it's something that eats at me every day, you know, just not making the playoffs and sometimes not making the plays that I should have. So there's a lot going on last year for all of us, you know, and kind of in the building, you know, but all that's in the past. And, you know, I mean, I know the player that I am, and I know that I still have juice. I know I can still run, you know, so I'm gonna go prove a lot of people wrong. You better believe I'll be ready.
There's a lot going on last year inside the building.
But also, I mean, he was nicked up, apparently. Nicked up. I mean, because we saw him.
But Aaron Rodgers is selling him. Aaron is like, hey, no, second year, more chemistry. Jimmy Graham is a smart, experienced football player. We're going to do great things. Well, he's still dropping some passes in practice, but we'll see. We'll see.
Well, he was dropping passes, but last year in training camp, we saw him over and over again. They were working with one another. Things seemed to be going good. We saw that glimpse early on in training or in preseason. And that first pass over the middle scores a touchdown. We thought, okay, there's 20 more of those to come this year, and it just never materialized.
Randall Cobb's gone. Jordy Nelson's been gone now 2 years. So, you know, you're looking for experience for Aaron Rodgers. Everything's fine with Davante Adams, although he's missed a couple of these OTA practices. He was gone the other day. And then you got Marquez Valdes-Scantling coming back for his second year. You know, looks like he's shown some growth. Equanimeous St. Brown, nobody talks about him much, but I still think that he could be a tremendous talent. Then a bunch of other young receivers. But you know the guy that Aaron Rodgers will start to smile and give the wink to and the thumbs up to is when he hits Jake Kumerow.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a connection with Jake Kumerow. And so Kumerow says, you know, hey, I still know that I got a battle. Even though the quarterback likes me, I feel like I've got a battle for a roster spot. And he said, like, Matt LaFleur has no problems coming up to him and calling him out in practice from the golf cart.
Yeah, he called me over a few times today. He'll just call you on over, and you know, you get over there and get whatever he's got for you, whatever coaching point he's got. And you know, like I said, it doesn't affect much. All you got to do is just go over to by him instead of having him run up to you. It doesn't affect really much anything when it comes to the meetings or the practice. He's right there behind us in our ears, letting us know what's good and bad. And yeah, we've been doing good out there. I like having the new wide receiver coach Witt and Coach Raves. They've been a big help, you know, learning this new offense. And Coach LaFleur, before the injury, was also very active out there running around with us. So having a year under your belt watching Aaron and learning his scheme definitely helps being around year two. You know, year one, you're definitely a little bit nervous, a little jittery to make sure that you're doing everything right. And now year two comes around and, you know, I feel a little bit more confident. And you know, maybe had a solid year last year in training camp. And this year I'm expecting to have a better one. So I got to make the team once again. That's how I attack every year. So I'm ready to, you know, do everything I can.
Do you believe he's got the talent to be that guy?
I do. I really do. I think so. You know, we've just seen him in training camp. Then he screws up his shoulder doing that somersault in the touchdown against the Steelers and kind of messed up most of his season. And then the running game. Aaron Jones, they took three running backs, was it 2 years ago now? 3 years ago?
3 years ago.
3 years ago. Jamal Williams, who's, you know, a power back that can carry the ball 30 times. Aaron Jones, who's got the speed and the burst, but, you know, he'll go for 4 or 5 games, and then he has an MCL. They took a Derek Mays, was it? And you know, he kind of flamed out. He was a change of pace guy, but didn't seem to get it. So this year, they used the pick for Dexter Williams out of Notre Dame. He looks pretty good so far. They've got some other candidates out there that I like out there. There's a Capri Bibbs that shows a burst when he's outside. So the running game is this. You know, maybe we don't know how good Jamal Williams or Aaron Jones can be because they never got their number called enough last year. Aaron Rodgers was audibling out of the run game. And you got a new head coach that says, we're going to run the football with the outside zone scheme. So I guess we'll find out this year just how good those two running backs can be. Doesn't hurt to have some more guys to fill in. So that's a look at the running game. On the other side of the football, Blake Martinez, everybody thinks is doing a great job. Of course, led the team last year in tackles. And one guy you really missed was your third-round pick, Oren Burks, who jacks his shoulder warming up in the sidelines in a pregame against the Raiders last year. Messed up much of his rookie season. He admits that as a third-round pick, his rookie season was sort of a lost year.
I didn't meet my expectations and was ready to make the jump.
So. Have you changed your body?
I'm feeling a little stronger, especially the injury that I had early
in the season. That kind of held me back a little bit, but feeling strong, the shoulders feeling good, and just confidence and being able to just recognize things a little bit faster. And just year two, you just kind of know what to expect a little bit more. Definitely wanted to focus on my eyes and be able to process things a lot faster, so that helped out a lot in terms of OTAs just getting better every day and processing things. So getting with Blake and some of those other guys and seeing what they see as linebackers in the league, and that's helped out a lot as well.
Just all part of every little edge that can make you a better player?
Yeah, it just simplifies the game for you, just knowing what reads to look for, and you're able to just play a lot faster. So
the general feeling is that the defense, obviously because Mike Pettine is in his second year, is ahead of the game. And you'll even see, after 1 week, Blake Martinez, who, you know, fourth-year guy, I mean, great football player, he takes the radio helmet and he gives it to Oren Burks. So they make him the Mike linebacker in these OTAs and have him run the defense to back up Blake Martinez. So that's a pretty good sign of progress. Then they bring in these veterans in free agency from the Redskins, Preston Smith, Za'Darius Smith from the Ravens. When I covered the Ravens against Colin Kaepernick and the 49ers and Jim Harbaugh in that Super Bowl down in New Orleans, I got down to New Orleans early that week like we always do when we cover the Super Bowl.
Right.
And one of the first guys I saw happened to be walking on the street. I go, that's got to be a football player. It was just a gigantic man, Shaquille O'Neal size, just huge, with his wife and three or four kids following along and walking on the sidewalk. And I turned around, it was Terrell Suggs. Oh, my gosh. And Terrell Suggs is just one of the most underrated players. I don't know if it's because Baltimore is not that great of a media market anymore. You know, they had a lot of empty seats at Raven games last year. But after Ray Lewis and, you know, Joe Flacco and John Harbaugh as a coach, I can't believe that Suggs doesn't get as much attention as he does. Because when you're in the locker room with this guy, he is loud. He is boisterous. You can feel the energy coming off this guy. And he's like a 14, 15-year veteran. So I talked to Za'Darius Smith, trying to sort of find a common bond with them to talk about him. I talked to him about Suggs. And now that he's a fourth, fifth-year player in a whole new situation, having to adjust to guys like Kyler Fackrell and Reggie Gilbert at the outside linebacker squad, what is he doing to sort of break the ice with these guys?
As of right now, just going through the little things. Like I said, it's OTA, so we're basically going through the playbook, and we're all trying to learn the playbook. And some people don't like dropping. Some people don't like rushing from inside. But like I said, each one of us can do different things. So to help each other, that's the little things that we can learn from each other.
Terrell's one of the biggest personalities I've ever been around. Mr. Suggs has been one of the biggest personalities
I've
ever been around.
So,
he fills up a room.
Yeah. Oh, man. Suggs is very legendary, man. I think he's been in the game for 15. And every little thing that he do, man, I follow him and follow his steps because I play behind him for 4 years. So just for him to be who he is, man, and I think he do a lot of movie stuff too, so he's a character too. So to have that in a room, man, it brings you joy, and when you're down in certain situations, to laugh and be around a guy like that.
So I'm hoping Za'Darius Smith picked up some stuff from Suggs in his time at Baltimore.
Yeah, you can certainly, he's not Terrell Suggs.
No.
In his heyday, you
right.
know, I mean. I know that Aaron Rodgers had talked about them the other day in his presser and had said that they both really look good. That he was talking about Mike Pettine's defense and that guys look more comfortable and then bringing in the new guys.
And Preston and Za'Darius.
And Preston and Za'Darius Smith. So, I mean, if you're a Packers fan, everything's kind of smelling like roses right now, but nobody's put a pad on yet and nobody's really hit anybody yet. So
there's all this national press about Davante Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I think when people watch Packer games on TV, it's like, okay, yeah, he got about a half step on the guy covering him, put his hand up, made a nice catch, you know.
Yeah.
So we're trying to figure out, because, you know, Aaron Rodgers says this guy is so underrated. And when you start asking around, it was kind of a conversation we had last year with Davante as he was leading the team with receptions. This guy's game is in the first 5 yards of the play. That Davante Adams is perhaps one of the very best in the NFL at beating press coverage, double team coverage. And you know, when a receiver is trying to make a juke and a fake move, and then that they call a stick, the defensive back,
right.
You know, the intended route, the direction he really wants to go is his stick. They say that's what Adams is really good at. And we asked Tremont if he could sort of break down why he thinks that Davante is so underrated as a wide receiver.
Because you don't get a lot of guys who can actually do that. That's like special. That's special. Not a lot of guys can do that. If you go back and you watch a lot of receivers, it's not going to be a lot of receivers able to get out their hips like that. And, you know, we only had, I think, maybe one other receiver who was able to get out their hips really that smooth over the years. And I say that was Greg at that point. He was a little different. Tay is a little bit more explosive. Greg was a little bit more smoother. But it's a rare thing. That's why it's hard for a DB to see that, because receiver always has one stick. We're taught to read the receiver's stick. And, you know, he's going to give you a little stutter, then he's going to give you the stick. And when he sticks, he's usually going the opposite way. But with a guy like that, this guy can give you more than one stick. And how do you read that? Do you go for the first stick or do you go for the second stick? So it's something that a lot of guys can't do. That's what makes it special. It gets him to the part of the field that he wants to get to and give the quarterback all the room that he wants to throw the ball. So it becomes a disadvantage for us more than anything. But, I mean, we can find ourselves still in a good position.
I'm excited about still a lot of the experience they have and some of the young guys. I can't wait to see how this defense kind of comes together. Stay tuned. We got more with Mike Clemens in the final segment of the Bill Michaels Show right after this.
Border to border, the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network.
Tremendous personality, character, integrity, thoughtful. I knew who Bart Starr was. I knew what he stood for. I knew that he quarterbacked the Packers, as they could say now, the glory years. And so when I got a chance to meet Bart, Bart would always go out of his way to come say hello. And I just thought to myself, I mean, this is crazy. Why would he want to talk to me?
Brett Favre talking about the late Bart Starr and his passing. Mike Clemens joining us here in studio. This portion of the program being brought to you by Bud Light, the official beer sponsor of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. A lot of recollecting, I guess, going on and reflecting going on in Green Bay after Bart had passed.
Well, when you get the news that Bart Starr has passed away, you know, one of the things I'm thinking about is, okay, how is Favre and how are Rodgers going to react? Are they going to be a part of this? Because Bart Starr did everything he could to reach out to those two young men. He just felt, with all that the Green Bay Packers gave him and Lombardi gave him, that the Bart Starr was such a character guy, he wanted to pay it forward. You know, I was thinking about a time where I interviewed Bart about 97 or 98, and he was in Milwaukee to promote the Lombardi golf tournament on a Saturday morning.
Right.
And he was talking to Tom Pippins from Fox 6, and then I was next in line for a TV station I was working for then. And, you know, to be around Bart Starr back then, 20 years ago in his 60s, it was, hi, how you doing? And he had a way of saying, okay, let's get to the point, all right?
Right.
Let's move this along. But he did it in such a way that he was a leader in such an interesting, casual way that way, to keep things moving forward. I guess it's probably because he was such a smart guy as well. But he had a great way of keeping the moment moving along and at the same time making you feel like you were the only person on earth and he was focused on
right.
you and talking to you. That's what made him a great quarterback in the huddle and at least tried his best as a head coach. And Favre talked about, I didn't know this, when you interviewed Favre on that Thanksgiving in 2015,
right?
And they wanted to do that whole reunion the year before, but Bart had the stroke.
Right.
And so Favre talked about how they shot that three shot of him and Bart and Aaron Rodgers just before that Bears game in that rainy night, and how much it meant for him to see Bart Starr come out of the tunnel.
I can't even describe how it felt and how, as I think back now, you know, I get chill bumps. And what people don't know about that was we actually were going to do it the previous year around the same time. And his health was not up to par, and they wanted to plan enough in advance. I was not going to do it unless Bart could do it. I really wanted to do it with him. You know how it is before a game. It's very hectic, and, of course, Bart and I are not playing anymore. Aaron goes out of his way, and we take this picture.
So he talked about how they had to take that three shot, and how it all worked out. And Aaron talked about how he kept in contact with Bart Starr over the years.
Well, he said, you know, one of the first times we met, he said that playing quarterback in Green Bay is about more than just winning championships. Because he was trying to say that, you know, there's a way to carry yourself. There's a way to get involved in the community. There's an expectation of class. And there's nobody better who exemplified that than Bart, a true gentleman. But over the years, you know, him and Cherry would write me letters. Nobody really writes handwritten letters anymore, but I got a bunch of them, and so did Brett, you know, as we were sharing stories at the service. He actually shared a letter that that Bart had written to him about the way he was wearing his hat one time, which is pretty funny. But Bart was... you know, just a great man, great husband, great father, endured some tragedy in his own life and some ups and downs, and always kept a great attitude. And like I said, he handled himself with a lot of integrity and class. And it was, you know, we had a great relationship. Then obviously he had the strokes. And the thing that I go back to is how important it was for him to get back in 15 to that game when they were retiring Favre's number, just how much that meant to him. And if you guys had known how much he was struggling to even move or speak or get around, it just makes that feat even that more amazing.
So a week ago today, it's Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre in the pews at Bart Starr's funeral.
Mike Clemens brought to you by our friends at Chili's. Make sure we all Chili's together. Time for us to go. Have a go and shoot!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!